although there is opposition from smallholders to raise their issues, there will never be stability in those companies. There will be those who welcome any weakening of the collective bargaining system, but be careful what you wish for. It is this system which has provided that relative stability in the labor market and for conditions, as well as providing dispute resolving or resolution mechanisms. These are the basic rights which we fought for. The right to organize, the right to be represented, the right to negotiate your own salaries, the right to collective bargaining, the right to dispute resolution. That's what we fought for. That's what is highlighted in the Act. Even the right to strike. And I think as employers, we should not be shocked by the right to strike, because we also have the right to lock out. Maybe those who will talk will deal with this matter. But of course, it's a tool, a strike, which should not be used recklessly. By the way, South Africa's collective bargaining system, with major developments over the years, can trace its origins to the legislation of the 1920s. The Labor Relations Act and the Wage Act, which provided for sectoral wage determination. The sectoral minister wage determinations is very important. These determinations are designed to protect the vulnerable workers in low-paying sectors of the economy. And we know those. When we're talking about big exploitation in farms, the domestic workers. So there are those areas where there's a lot of exploitation. The wholesale and retail workers are still exploited very seriously there. So the process, when we are dealing with the wage determinations sectorally, that process begins with an investigation by the National Minimum Wage Commission into conditions in the sector, that is wages and so on, as well as the ability of the employers to pay. We look into that, the ability of the employers to pay. People cannot be filthy rich as employers, but they say we can't afford to pay. But they continue to increase their profits, but they say we can't be able to pay. The commission then recommends minimum wages and conditions to the minister, who then makes a determination which is legally enforceable in terms of the basic conditions of employment. You can see that I'm a very emphatic chair on the bargaining side of it. Maybe it shows my bias where I'm coming from also. On the Essential Services Committee of the CCMA, this structure has an important role to play in helping define essential services in addition to relevant legislation and overseeing this space and providing a forum for resolving disputes, sorting out grey areas, and developing minimum service agreements. Because if you say the workers should not strike, you should be able to say what are the minimums which the employers would deal with if they can't strike. It's a very sensitive area, which sometimes there's recklessness from the side of the employer, but also from the side of the unions who would go on strike even when they are not allowed to strike, leading to mass dismissals. You find that the union, instead of negotiating the conditions of service or the area of dispute, now is forced to negotiate the dismissals which are as a result of an illegal strike. Why is this necessary? I think we can all agree that in certain instances there must be limits to the right to strike, where such action would endanger the life, it would endanger health and safety of the individual and of the community. This is enshrined in our legislation, but also in the ILO, the definition of essential services. It might be good that the members also look at that definition of essential services in terms of the ILO. The legislation is the source of much of what defines essential services. And the Essential Services Committee is there to fill the gaps and to provide oversight to ensure that this whole area works smoothly. But the various people who will be making presentations will go into details on these areas. Thank you very much, Chair, for this opportunity. I wish you and the honorable members a very successful workshop. I will also be going and then coming back, but it's also empowering us, because we must not assume that because we politically were heading this, therefore we know everything. The experts are the people who are running these structures. So I'm also here in this workshop to be empowered. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. As you have requested permission to leave and attend the other meeting, which is also very important, but we appreciate the political overview. You have raised very important issues, which as this committee we need not be ashamed of, but also it's going to assist us, because we are to also, as we will then be conducting our constitutional responsibility, we will have to ensure that we navigate between the and I believe that for us is not to be reckless, not to create a hostile or being arrogant, but how then do we navigate being guided by these laws, but moreover being guided by the Constitution, but also being guided by what is happening on the ground in terms of the rights of our people. How then do we ensure that we assist in protecting them? Now, what we will then do, the Deputy Minister is going to be with us, and the DG, at an appropriate time, they will come in. What we will do now, as we always do, if we are then being joined by a board of whatever entity, we will then allow Productivity SA through its board, how they are going to present their presentation is going to be dependent on them. But my understanding is that the chair of the board, who I'm told is Professor Mdwaba, will just take us through and tell us who is then going to do what. And we will then, we are handing over to them. We are giving you, maybe we will be advised by the host when just to break for just a comfort break and come. But you are here between now and 12 o'clock. That time is for presentation, questions, clarities on Productivity SA. Over to Professor Mdwaba. I hope I'm pronouncing your surname correctly. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. You are pronouncing my surname correctly, Chair. I'm used to be at the International Labour Organization in Switzerland, where my surname has been assaulted a few times. It's good to be home and have it pronounced correctly. Let me greet you, Chair, and greet all the honorable members first of the committee. And thank you for having shown an interest in hearing from us what it is we do. We are very enthusiastic to do so, and I will come back to that. I just want to thank the minister in our midst. You asked a lot, Chair, about the board. So I want to start from the outset and say to you that the board is accountable to the minister. The board actually, in terms of the act, should meet with the minister.
Chairperson.
Yes, Minister.
No, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee. It's let me interrupt Umthunzi just for 1 second. I think it's unfair. We should have given this introduction. That Professor Mdwaba is also from the business side of the sectors and represents business at the ILO level, but he has become the spokesperson of the whole business internationally at the ILO. I think that's very important because he occupies a very, very high-profile position at that particular level. Thank you very much.
Do I have the chair back, Chair?
Yes, let me thank the Minister for taking us through that we have got a person of your caliber in our, and we will, I'm confident that we are going to be empowered. But the only thing, before you go any further, let me just put this, I'm not trying to dislodge you, it seems as if it's a boys' choir. I only see one lady there at the gun, but you will explain that as you move forward. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
That was on a lighter note. Over to you, Prof. Can the chair be unmuted, Zolan?
Thank you, Chair. I'm now back with you. I was saying that the minister wants to say things, then he runs away. I will come and address the boys' choir just now, Chair. I'm not dislodged at all. Actually, I was thinking earlier when your song played in the middle of your presentation, I was thinking that at the ILO governing body, because we had a virtual one in October, November last year for the first time, there were only four of us in the room marshalling all our teams all over the world. So every morning what I did play, Chair, to try and lift us from the depression, the whole world, I must say, I played Jerusalem, this South African song that has taken the world by storm. So every morning I would get us and all the interpreters to dance to Jerusalem before we start our deliberation. So I thought your song was also not necessarily a mistake, Chair. We do need the music has the power to lift us off. Now, as I was saying, Chair, the board is accountable to the minister, the board of Productivity SA through me. So the minister is correct. Historically, I'm a representative of business, but I need to make it very clear that in the position that I hold as the chair of productivity, I am appointed by the minister. The board is tripartite and represents government, business, and trade unions. But my position myself does not come from the constituencies. I'm appointed by the minister to chair Productivity SA. The board, though, in terms of the act, has to meet with the minister once a year. We, in fact, have an outstanding meeting with the minister that we've already requested, which should happen before the financial year. Then, Chair, I need to come back now and introduce my board. My board, Chair, I want to start with the boys' choir issue. You shall find has a very unequal balance towards women. I am the chair, as it has been mentioned, and then on the chair we have colleagues from the trade unions first, Comrade Welile Nolingo from COSATU, who has submitted an apology for today. Then we have Comrade Masale Godfrey Masela, who is the FEDUSA president and who is connected, as we speak, chair, from the province that he comes from. Then we have representatives from business. We have Comrade Farida Khan from SASOL, and then we have Shivani Singh, who's from the automotive industry chair, an organization that is referred to as NACAM. And then we have the acting UIF commissioner chair. You had the DG talking about her having an interest in productivity SA. Well, that interest, chair, is that she's a board member representing government. Comrade Marsha Bronkhorst is also on our board. Then we have the last board, and Comrade Marsha Bronkhorst had a meeting cancelled this morning, so she decided to be here with us. She's connected on the call as well. Then we have Comrade Janeline Chetty, Dr. Chetty, from the DTIC, representing the DTIC. She's also submitted an apology. You will see from that, chair, that we have an overwhelming number of the more powerful gender, the women, chair, on our board. Four versus two, if you count me, then I'm three, I guess. Then, chair, we talk about the team that is here with me today and the one that is virtually connected. You see the one lady here with us, Dr. Nandi Dabula, who will be participating in the presentation later, and I shall come back to that just now in terms of formalities, but we've got 52 slides, and she will be doing some of the slides from 33 to 39. Then we have a colleague, Amelia Naidu, who is connected on this call, chair, and Amelia Naidu, chair, is in charge of Region 3. She's connecting from KZN right now. Then, chair, we have another apology from a colleague who is in charge as well of the region, is it Region 1, CEO, right? Lelani Janse van Rensburg. Lelani also has submitted an apology. Lelani, as you can hear, chair, is also of the more powerful gender. And then we do have a man who submitted an apology, who's in charge of Region 2, Albert Brink, based in Cape Town. We have in our midst here Justice Chifularo on my left, who will be doing slides 22 to 23. And then, chair, I have the CFO over there next to Dr. Dabula Sibusiso Sabela, who will be doing slides 47 to 49, and he's the chief financial officer. When we come to the point where we talk about monies, he shall be ready to explain or respond as needed, chair. Then last but not least, we have the CEO, Mr. Mutiba Mutunye, who will be doing slides 9 to 21, and then coming back later and doing slides from 40 to 46, and then later slides 50 to 52, chair. Now, chair, I hope the boys' choir has been addressed. In fact, you will see that it's more of a girls' choir insofar as the board is concerned. Insofar as the executive is concerned, it's a very balanced choir, chair, and hope that at least will set you at ease, and we hope to do better and improve as we move along. I do want, chair, to recognize the Deputy Minister, Deputy Minister Boitumelo Moloi, and we are happy that she has recovered and is with us. Very helpful in our cause, I must mention. I also saw some colleagues from the department who were mentioned by the minister. We recognize the DG, Mr. Tobile Lamati, We recognize Mr. Sam Rotova, the DDG, Virgil Seafield, the other DDG, Egi Muiloa, and the other DDG. We recognize them as well. I also see we have Zandisile, who I know him as a Mweli, but on there it seems he's pronounced as if he's Musutu or something, he's M-O, but I think that's the same person. Then, Chair, having done all these protocol-related matters, I need to mention that amongst your honourable members, I see an honourable member who was at our last presentation over a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, with the last portfolio committee, I think honourable member Michael Badrain. So at least he should have a little bit people, I think, that we're going to be presenting to, but we will try and ensure that even those who are listening to us for the first time are together with us. Having dealt with that, Chair, I now go straight to the presentation. I have already through.
Before that, but I just want to give you, you are aware of the time. You now it's quarter to 11, up to half past 11, we're listening to you.
Thank you, Chair.
So that if everybody's going to be giving, who's going to make a presentation, be aware. But thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. That is more than adequate time for us, Chair. That will give us about 90 minutes or so to present. So let me mention from the outset that the slides we have, which are up to 52, will be followed by a video that is that runs for about 6 minutes, which we thought would also be quite important and interesting for the honourable members and colleagues to watch as well. I think, Chair, I will go straight now into this, but I think it's important as well to give a little bit of a background, Chair. And the background for me that gives me huge passion in the topic and the entity that I'm involved in is the fact that throughout my life, I've done quite a number of things, Chair. I've been very fortunate to have run the music industry at some stage. I then ran the technology industry at all organized business levels while running my own company, which was a technology company, Chair, that I built with my team in 27 countries. It was the leading skills and technology company in the African continent, partnered with all the players that people hear about, from Microsoft to Cisco to what have you. Then I've also been involved, of course, Chair, the ILO now for the last 12 years. And in the ILO, I've also chaired the skills in the Turin Center in Torino. A lot of people go to the Turin Center in the department, outside of the department. And I also chaired skills there and matters of employment. And also having chaired the University of the Western Cape Chair for a few years until 2018, I'm very close to matters of education. So education, skills, technology is the background I come from, Chair. And I thought it might be important to also mention that as I thrust myself. And these days at the University of the Western Cape, my main focus is I'm a professor of law in the future of work and in human rights and responsible business conduct, Chair. Now, Chair, you will see that the first slide deals with just addressing what the topic is. We talk about demystifying the concept of productivity. It is indeed, we found important that we demystify this, because as much as along the way we've believed that it is self-explanatory, we keep discovering that it's not. Some people read productivity differently. It seems to trigger certain responses to different people at different levels. I might just mention as well that in our centenary celebration of the ILO in 2019, when the ILO celebrated 100 years, productivity certainly appeared 8 times in a document that is 1.5 pages. For the first time that it is an instrument of the ILO together with the creation of productive employment. We shall then also give you the history of Productivity SA, give you a value proposition and service offering, give you the performance and impact, strategic direction. Then we go to alignment to South Africa's transformation agenda, and lastly, post-COVID-19 agenda and the support required. What we try to do, Chair, if we can go to the next slide, is to follow some of the questions we received from yourselves, and make sure that they're addressed as we go through. And please, should we miss anything, the rationale for today is that you tell us so that we respond to it today. You will see that a guy called Peter Drucker some time ago talked about the fact that growth that adds volume without improving productivity is fat. Growth that diminishes productivity is a cancer. I think that as well is explanatory. And when we move to the next slide, and when we talk about demystifying the concept of productivity, Chair, is that it's more than just a measure of how effectively resources are used to produce outputs. It is, Chair, using less to create more, working smarter, not harder. It's using less to create more. That's very important. It talks about or talks to a mindset that continuously aspires to better ways of accomplishing tasks and conducting business. Doing what I do today better than I did yesterday and even better tomorrow. That's my favorite catchphrase, Chair, because I think all of us as a human species always want to do things better than we did yesterday and even better the following day. And that's productivity. If anything else doesn't get understood or get a little bit murky, this we must never forget. Creating and delivering quality goods and services at the right time, at the right speed, and at the least cost. We have to create delivery of quality goods and services at the right time, at the right speed, and in the least possible cost that we can. And we also talk about continuous improvement, Kaizen in Japanese. Now, Kaizen, Chair, you will be aware, has been popularized a lot by a company called Toyota in Japan, and it really talks to exactly that, that all of us, we want to continuously improve, continuously do better, and in doing so, we must make sure we do so for the collective good. No one must be left behind when we do so. At the heart of productivity is the individual. An organization can only become more productive through continuous upgrading of knowledge, skills, discipline, effort, and collaboration. Now, you will see that as part of demystifying the concept, Chair, on that slide, you have three elements at the top: key elements of productivity, key drivers of productivity, and the beneficiaries of productivity. On the elements of productivity, you've got the outcome of productivity is the continuous improvement of performance. And the improvement must be measurable. I think this must not be lost as well, that it's not enough to just have continuous improvement of performance, but the improvement must be measurable. And when you talk about the key drivers of productivity, Chair, you see at the top effectiveness, doing the right things, efficiency, doing things the right way, and utilization, which is an optimum use of the human capital and physical resources that we have, and then an elimination of all forms of waste without discrimination. All forms of waste should be eliminated. And when you talk about the beneficiaries of productivity, it is the economy, the enterprises, the environment, society. And I think ultimately, Chair, the one other word I would add to that is that the beneficiation of productivity leads to the enhancement of dignity for all. That, for me, is absolutely, absolutely critical and must not be lost. When you look at the benefits of productivity, again, we've given you for South Africa on the one end, for organizations in the middle, and for workers and individuals on the right. Now, for South Africa, Chair, the source of sustainable growth in living standards is what South Africa should be looking at in terms of beneficiation. Employment creation. Now, employment creation, Chair, has become an elusive concept for us South Africans. We talk a lot about it. There's a lot of rhetoric about it, but there isn't a lot about it in terms of what we do. We, Chair, I think, should collectively accept that we have collectively failed dismally. If we were to be judged, we all have failed. Can we do better? Yes, we can. But how do we do better? We do better by doing things together, by ensuring that the right elements that should be there must be there and integrated in every possible value proposition that we have. And we shall be sharing with you, Chair, that that value proposition can never be complete without productivity SA. That value proposition, Chair, can never be complete without a fully funded productivity SA so that it can be able to meet its full mandate. And to do this, we will cover as well that we may have to accept that there also has to be a lot of education that needs to be covered for all of us. There's a lot of people in all the government departments, including our own, the Department of Employment and Labor, where we should actually have some induction and education, because some people have not done what you have done, Chair. You've said, guys, come and explain. I'm not sure that I get the full picture of this. But some people do not understand this, Chair. They never went to the school you went to. Some people would rather pretend they understand. Some people would rather pretend they got it when they ain't got it. And this is one of the biggest problems we have as a productivity movement, is that people do not understand what we do. So when they speak, you can forgive them. They speak from a position of not understanding what it is we meant to do. They speak from a position of not understanding that all the things they do in the Department of Employment and Labor can never work, Chair, without productivity SA. So South Africa, to be offered a route out of poverty and alleviation of inequality, needs productivity. We need to have it as a driver of sustained competitiveness and economic growth. When you talk about GDP growth, you cannot have anything sustained without productivity being not only embraced, but integrated in implementation, Chair, in all the facets of everything we do when we talk about public employment services, when we talk about the labor market, the things that we do. You cannot do it without productivity. We should be having a situation, actually, in a perfect world, Chair, where we should be having the leaders of South Africa come into productivity and say, I would say once a month. You might think that's too much, but I think once a month would not be too much, because anything and everything that is being done without productivity SA is likely to lead to waste. Remember, we talked about elimination of waste. We need all waste to be taken out. Now, a lot of people, Chair, run around doing a lot of things. They run around reacting to fires. They run around dealing in a responsive way to things that are going wrong. They run around managing crises, Chair, every day. Now, the thing about productivity is that if you work smart and not hard, you would know that productivity should be proactively dealt with, not reactively dealt with. It must be proactive. If you place it first at the beginning of everything you do, you will find that the fires you are reacting to have been lessened. You will find that the crises are not only lessened, but done away with, that they don't exist. But unfortunately, structurally, we do not do things the way strategically things should be done. And that is what we should be doing. When you talk about the benefits of productivity, therefore, for organizations, it leads to lower unit costs of productivity and thus higher profits and higher dividends. When you talk about profits, they can then be distributed to workers in the form of better pay and working conditions, or to create more jobs. Then I also want, even though my colleagues will touch on this, Chair, that we be clear that when we talk about productivity, we talk about total sector productivity. This is very important. And my colleagues will come and explain this a little bit more. What I've picked up, especially in the International Labour Organization, is that as soon as you talk about productivity, there are those, and they can be forgiven, because this, in the past, this was used against people. Some of the people, particularly the workers, think, oh my God, here they come again, they want to cut costs. Here they come again, we're going to lose jobs. And so people associate productivity to the cutting of jobs. They associate productivity to the cutting of costs. No, Chair. This is not what productivity is about. Total factor productivity is about lots and lots more. And my colleagues will pick on this later. When you look again at the beneficiation of productivity for organizations, it's increased contributions to society via a higher tax content. Also enhanced support for social causes, which we all need when we also link to things like the Sustainable Development Goals. You will know, Chair and the Honorable Members, that we have 17 of those Sustainable Development Goals. And one, number one, deals with poverty. Number two deals with hunger. The one that we deal with in the Department of Employment and Labor is number 8, which is economic activity and decent work. And but those, all the SDGs are all linked. They are all linked to 1, to 2, to 17, which calls for all partnerships of the development goals as we move forward. And when you look at the benefits of productivity for workers, individuals, you look at job security, you look at better opportunities, beneficiation of better wages. Minister was talking about wages earlier on and the disagreements that we have between employers and workers, and this adds to that. Then it leads also to greater social mobility, an efficient use of resources, and a better quality of life, Chair. And we move now to the next slide. The next slide, Chair, is a slide on the power of productivity. I think my colleagues are just trying to load it for some reason. Now, we have quality of work on the left and quality of life on the right-hand side. You'll see that its power, when the power is properly leveraged, will give you, under labor, you talk about positive work attitudes, skills upgrading, teamwork, harmonious labor relations, a healthy workforce, and participation in productivity programs, which you will see, Chair, leads on there. You've got quality products and services, you've got higher productivity, higher GDP growth, and at the bottom there on the left of quality of work is underpinned, you've got capital and systems, innovation and technology, which all feed into what you have in the middle there, Chair. And then when you ultimately look at the quality in terms of life, you have labor incentives, in terms of business, you have greater competitiveness and higher productive profitability, and under government, you've got a higher capita GDP and more savings. Ultimately, Chair, what are we talking about? We're talking about a higher standard of living. This is what we should be talking about for our people. This is what our mandate is collectively, and we contribute into that. I heard the minister talking about that we monitor, facilitate, and drive. I always like to say to my colleagues, Chair, that if people fail to understand maybe the law, maybe too complicated, what the mandate of productivity SA is, for me, we can really simplify it to say, we must be seen to be contributing to the creation of employment. We must be seen to be contributing to the retention of employment. So when people are to be retained, when people lose their jobs, Chair, productivity should be there. When we talk about operational efficiency or lack thereof, productivity should be there before the CCMA comes in, Chair. As the CCA comes in, the CCMA comes in, we should have been there already. And for me, my colleagues will also address this, because there's an anomaly, there's a flaw in how things are structured. We should not be having people going to the CCMA and they haven't come and knocked on our door. That is incorrect, because our mandate is to intervene at the point of pain. When there's pain, you come to us. When you feel it, before you even see it, you come to us. You knock on our door and you say, guys, I'm feeling something that feels like an ailment. It may not be, but just in case, please come and have a look. That's our job. And for us to be able to do that, we need to be properly resourced. Because as you can imagine, in a time such as this, there is multitudes out there that will have this pain. And we should be at every point of pain, Chair. That is absolutely critical. And lastly, Chair, in addition to creating employment, contributing thereto, retaining, we need to be there for competitiveness, Chair. We must be there for competitiveness. Now, you'll see this slide talks about competitiveness and productivity landscape in 2020. South Africa's overall productivity growth, which is a key driver of long-term competitiveness and economic performance, is low, Chair. Very low. With the decline in economic activity in 2020, this is expected to get worse during and beyond the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, pre-COVID, we're already very low. Pre-COVID, we're already terribly, terribly low. COVID has made it a lot worse, which then means we need to have an enhanced role from an interventionist point of view. According to the recently released productivity stats, in October of 2020, South Africa recorded a decline in productivity growth, with labor productivity and capital productivity registering mild decline in 2019, while multi-sector productivity that I mentioned earlier, that my colleagues will come back to simplify more, recorded no growth at all in the same period. If you look at the competitiveness ranking, Chair, we sit at 59 out of 63. 59 out of 63 countries. Last year, we were 56, and we swapped places this time with Brazil to go to 59. The countries below us are not countries, Chair. I'm not being disrespectful. We should not be, as South Africa, on the same level as these countries. There's no reason South Africa, Chair, is not in the top 30 of those countries. Indeed, about 10, 11 years ago, we were number 44 out of 63. We've gone down year on year. We've given warnings year on year. The warnings have fallen on deaf ears. We've engaged the whole of South Africa to say, come, we need to fix this, because it tells you what is wrong. If you look at the bottom there, that list, that is that diagram on the left-hand side, it tells you exactly what is wrong, Chair. You don't have to go search it. You don't have to go and try and reinvent the wheel. It tells you where you must intervene and suggest how you must intervene. But unfortunately, we haven't done any of those, okay? And now, if you look on the four broad factors in competitiveness since 2010, we've now dropped in an unacceptable manner. And this is compiled, by the way, by the IMD in Lausanne in Switzerland, the Institute for Management Development, and they partner with us in South Africa in collecting that data. Our country suffers from an underskilled population, which is evident in a high unemployment rate despite numerous job vacancies. I just want to pause before the CEO comes in now to take over from me, Chair, to just see. I mean, if you look at those two diagrams, they're very self-explanatory. You will see exactly where South Africa is in the red. Now, the president of the country wants to improve our ease of doing business. He wants to improve our ease of doing business so that we move from position 84 to position 50 out of 150 countries. Now, here's the curious, interesting thing, Chair. If you look at the competitiveness index, which is out of 63 countries in terms of the IMD, and we are number 59, and you look at the ease of doing business, we are number 84 out of 150. You will see, if you do a very simple exercise, I even did this myself without the help of scientists who are experts in this field. The president wants to take us from 84 to 50, which is great, because that's one of the problems South Africa has. In all the webinars that I'm involved in and moderate and all the engagements throughout the world, the one biggest criticism for South Africa is that we are not accessible. The leaders in South Africa are not accessible. We are too important. We hide behind PAs who hide behind PAs who hide behind other PAs. You cannot find decision makers. The World Economic Forum will tell you, you can't find South Africans who make decisions when you're looking for them. So it's good that the president wants to move us from 84 to 50. Hopefully we can deal with this red tape and bureaucracy that we have. But you will find that if you work on the competitiveness area, the countries that are in the top 20 for competitiveness and top 20 for the ease of doing business, about 50 to 60% of them are common countries. If you improve the competitiveness, Chair, you automatically improve the ease of doing business. I want to repeat this, Chair. If you improve the competitiveness index of the country, you automatically improve the ease of doing business. However, if you improve the ease of doing business, you do not necessarily automatically improve the competitiveness. I think this is critical. So we need to be working with the President's office and saying to the President, Mr. President, we congratulate you on working on this ease of doing business, but we'd like to give you a twin. Here's a twin that you must never lose sight of. Keep them together at all times, and you shall see that if you treat them together, we shall all get to the promised land together, and our people will feel the impact. Social justice shall have been served. With that, Chair, I'm handing over now to the CEO, Mr. Motiba Mutunye, who's going to do the next section. Over to you, Ndate.
Before that, Chair, I don't know whether it's on my side, that whoever is controlling the presentation, at times it just becomes stuck in one area, and then as you speak, we don't see. That's why I'm saying I hope it's only on my side, but maybe as we move forward, that will improve.
All of us we are experiencing that, Chair.
Okay, Chair, I'm told at this stage that there's a network buffer on your side. It looks like Parliament is protecting you, but in protecting you is overprotective. So my people this side are trying to find a way of penetrating this buffer. But I do know that we sent copies until we fix the problem. We sent copies on Wednesday, 2 days ago, so that everybody has got a copy of our presentation, because we're worried that technology sometimes is not reliable. I would ask, if possible, that we maybe use those until we fix the problem. We are currently now on slide number 9, the history of productivity essay, slide number 9, and I'm going to ask that the CEO mentions which slide he's on every time he moves, until we get confirmation from you that you now see what we are doing, Chair. Is that okay as a suggestion, Chair?
No, that is fine. That is fine, Chair. I will then request the committee section, the support staff, to check with the IG about this. But we do have that presentation. Others, maybe the presentation in the gadgets that we are using. But it's fine. We can continue with that. The support staff must assist us with that. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Dr. Motiba, please proceed. Slide 9.
Chairperson of the committee and honorable members, Minister in absentia and the Deputy Minister, leadership of the department led by the Director General, Dr. Lamati, the Chairperson of the Productivity Essay and board members sitting in this presentation, as well as the executive productivity essay. When we were preparing for this, we also got a brief that we should at least talk to you about the history of this entity. Where are we coming from, and what is it that we really are about, as well as how do we see the future unfolding and our contribution? Just to give you an indication, this is an old entity which was formed in 1969, and it's important that I indicate as a Schedule 3, Section 21 company, with the aim of promoting and enhancing productivity throughout South Africa.
most of you might know that at that point, it was called the National Productivity Institute. And one thing that when I was going through the records of this entity is that prior to 1994, it had expert authority to advise the Presidential Economic Advisory Council. I think that's something that we have lost over time. And to then around 2006, we rebranded to what we are referred to now as Productivity South Africa. And then in 2014, the Employment Services Act was promulgated, and which then established the entity in terms of that Section 31. And I think it's important that if you look at that section, at the heart of it is that we are about promoting employment growth and productivity, thereby contributing to South Africa's socioeconomic development and competitiveness. And when we talk to the mandate of the Department of Employment and Labor, you will then find that there are three key areas which I'll reflect on. If you look at our vision and mission, I think what is important, which the chairperson has extensively reflected on, is the issue of a competitive South Africa. That if South Africa is not productive, and with the understanding that productivity is a driver of sustained competitiveness and economic growth, if we are not productive, we will not be competitive. And if not competitive, therefore, there will be no growth. And in terms of our mission, you will see key things that we do when we improve productivity. The first one is diagnosing. We do advisory services. We implement the things that we uncovered in our engagement with both management and labor. Once we have implemented, we come back, we do the monitoring and evaluation to assess whether the solution that we have provided to enterprises are working or not. In slide 11, we are giving you an indication of the legislative mandate and how we align to the Department of Employment and Labor. I'll just focus on the three that we have in red. That if you, and this sounds coincidental, when the Department of Labor then crafted its mandate, I think the right thing was done to start talking about improving economic efficiency and productivity. And if you go to the slides that the chairperson was presenting on competitiveness, four of those areas that he spoke about, one is about economic performance, and the other one is about business efficiency. So I think at the right time, when we were crafting the mandate of the department, I think we were in the right space. And subsequent to that, we knew that if we have economic efficiency and productivity, we will be in a position to create decent employment. And I think the committee should take note of this. To the extent that, if you look at what is then happening in the NEDLAC space, the issue of social dialogue, when we look at the work that we do as Productivity South Africa, we have a clear understanding that our role in that space is focused on the first two bullet points, but then with this social compacting and dialogue, so that we move with everybody, both business Labour as well as community constituencies. And that is why, effectively, you find that our board is also constituted in that manner. If we go to slide 12, in this slide, which I will repeat later, the emphasis is on when you go into the Act, what is it that you should look at as it relates to productivity SA? You will see we are putting a lot of emphasis on section 21E. If you read it with section 7 as well as section 32, it is very specific on improving the employment and re-employment prospects of employees facing retrenchment. And the good thing that happened recently is also the amendment of the Unemployment Insurance Act. Because if you go to section 5D of the UI Amendment Act, you'll find that it talks to this issue. And that is why there's a compelling reason for productivity SA to work with the Unemployment Insurance Fund when it comes to job preservation, which is provided for in section 7. And then when you talk to section 21G, read together with section 32, that's where it is very specific about promoting employment, growth, and workplace productivity. And as indicated, one of the things that we do is this issue about productivity awareness. And also, the programs that we implement are about creating an environment conducive for entrepreneurship and sustainable enterprises. And that gives effect to the sustainable development goals, in particular, goal 8. In slide 13, Chairperson, we are giving you an indication of where do we draw a mandate in terms of other policies. And that is why when you look at the Constitution, you just go to the heart of the Bill of Rights, and then you look at industrialization in terms of the sector master plans, you look at the BBBEE and the codes of good practice. We focus more in that space on the enterprise and supplier development as well as transformation and empowerment. So in terms of other mandates, those are the key things that we look at. In the next slide, we're talking about from an international perspective, looking at, as we said, the sustainable development goals. And one other key thing is the issue around the ILO Centenary Declaration for the Future of Work. And it is in that space that we look at issues of full and productive employment and decent work, as well as the strategic role of enterprises, in particular SMEs, in driving growth. And we also borrow from the agenda, to Africa Agenda 2063. In the agenda, you will find specific chapter that talks to growth, and at the center of that growth is also issues of productivity growth. And again, when we do our work, we don't do it outside the national development plan, in particular chapter 3, chapter 5, as well as chapter 9. And those three chapters are actually talking to economic growth. Secondly, issues around the institutions that will drive innovation and skilling, and thirdly, a capable state. So in the work that we do, we always say these three chapters in the national development form
a cornerstone of the work that we do. On slide 15, as indicated, we locate ourselves in two priorities of government. Priority one, which is dealing with economic transformation and job creation, and priority six, which talks to a capable, ethical, developmental state. So if you find us doing any work, and that work is not centered in these two priorities, we are what the strategists would call in strategic drift. And on this slide, I just want to emphasize that the fact that government has adopted the district development model as well as sector master plans, and recently in October, economic recovery plan, you will also find that the work that we do, particularly when we talk about the strategic future of productivity SA, you'll find that we actually locate our work in the districts in line with the sector master plans and specifically talking to issues that have economic recovery plan. And I want to emphasize, Chair, that and the committee, that in April last year, when we were faced with this challenge of COVID and anticipating the future, we actually put together a paper which I requested that it should be sent to the committee so that you familiarize yourself with our thinking as it relates to issues around economic recovery and sustainability of enterprises. And we were also asked to look at the structure of this organization. But what is important is the footprint. Where are we located in the country? And just to give you an indication that because of limited resources, we have structured ourselves into three regions. Region 1, which covers Gauteng, Northwest Limpopo; Region 2, Western Cape, Northern Cape; and Region 3, KZN, Eastern Cape, and Mpumalanga. This is the least that we can do, but we believe that if we are beginning to talk about real interventions being everywhere in the country, we'll have to look at how we restructure the entity in such a way that we can reach entrepreneurs across the breadth and depth of this country. And here, we just wanted to give you an indication of why we have to be there. And we are saying we aim South Africa to achieve a productive, high-income economy, which is globally competitive, with sustainable growth, full and productive employment, and decent work for all. These are fundamental principles that guide the work that we do. If we intervene in enterprises, as the chairman has indicated, we should begin to see workers benefiting in terms of income. We should also see the economy globally competitive and our enterprises able to compete with their peers. And it is within this context that we have also looked at the Africa Free Trade Agreement to say, how then do we have some of our enterprises participating in the continent and successfully? So in the next slide, we then give you an indication that as we do the work that we do, it is about providing solutions to enhance the productive capacity and operational efficiency of enterprises throughout the business life cycle. And I believe that justice will come and give you an indication of that business life cycle. But at the heart of it, it's also about accelerating wealth and decent employment creation. You can then see where it's about unlocking South Africa's productivity by addressing productivity and competitiveness at three levels, at a country level, at industry level as well as at enterprise level. And if you look at the Employment Services Act, Section 32 gives an outline of the functions that we have to perform as an entity. What we have done, we have then looked at the functions and then we group them into three strategic business units, which is the Competitiveness Improvement Services, which will be explained in full, and then Business Turnaround and Recovery Program, as well as Research, Innovation, and Statistics. With this, I'll then hand over to Justice Chifularo, who will take you through the actual things that the programs do, as well as how far have we gone in changing the lives of South Africans. Thank you, Chairperson. Over to you, Justice.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair of the Committee. For the sake of time, let me say all protocol observed. When we look at slide number 22, it begins to paint a picture of who we actually assist through our various interventions in the market. So we've used a business life cycle to demonstrate the fact that we render services for enterprises from cradle to grave. The first half of that bell curve or normal curve starts with emerging enterprises, which means we should then make an assumption that when we talk about the concept of productivity, we are talking about existing enterprises. Because we only talk of the concept of productivity when there's conversion of input to output. All that we're trying to do is to ensure that the level of productivity and competitiveness is actually enhanced. So if I have to simplify our mandate, it's the fact that we are there to ensure the sustainable value creation, which is the long-term capacity of enterprises to generate profits, to create fulfilling jobs, while minimizing the environmental impact of their actions. So we have interventions that are focused on your micro businesses that have just started, that you categorize as emerging. They will be focusing on the basic fundamentals of business, such as record keeping, so that you have a solid foundation in order to be able to build and grow your business. Once business have grown, we have other intervention that focuses on ensuring that this business becomes sustainable in the long run. So they should be globally competitive. They should be able to get best practices across the world, since we live in a global community, to be able to hold their own against the best in the world. But we do understand that at some stages, business do fall sick, that if those sicknesses are not addressed, it could actually lead to the death of business turnaround and recovery interventions. At the bottom are those kind of issues that we need in place, that hence I highlighted that we help existing business. If we move to slide number 23, start getting into details about the intervention we have that we group into three categories. The very first one, which addresses the emerging business and the sustainable enterprises component, we call it Competitiveness Improvement Services. Here is where we enhance the capacity of SMEs and cooperatives to adopt world-class productivity enhancement best practices, focusing on products, processes, and people, targeting the priority productive sector with strong growth and employment multipliers, with a focus on the township and rural economies. We also contribute to the creation of productive employment and decent work by improving competitiveness and sustainability of enterprises. We enhance productivity and operational efficiency through even clustering, because it's impossible with our capacity to go to every single business in the economy. Therefore, we're able to group businesses together as a cluster where the lessons learned are able to be distributed to the rest of the economy so that others who could not get an opportunity to participate can actually learn from it. Here we have a wonderful flagship program that is supported by the DTIC that we call the Workplace Challenge. This program came through 1998 Job Summit, when South Africa just re-entered the global economy and our businesses were failing and closing down, and its focus was to facilitate South Africa's re-entry into the global market to ensure that we are both productive and competitive. We have a strong transformational element in all our interventions. So we are supporting Black industrialists, programs, the township economy and rural economies. At the bottom is some of specific interventions that we run in the competitiveness improvement services. I'll then move to slide number 24. In this particular slide, it demonstrates the services that we offer for those businesses that are in distress and are in decline. These two emerged from the 1998 Job Summit, which means we have been running these interventions with social partners for over 20 years. So we have a lot of experience within this particular area. And the aim is to preserve jobs and create conditions for job retention and smooth job creation. So if you look at what happened in 2018, the most recent Job Summit, social partners agreed that one fundamental thing that needs to be addressed is preservation of jobs. We need to ensure that we preserve jobs. Once we preserve those jobs and strengthen those businesses and put them on a growth path trajectory, then those businesses are even able to create even more jobs. So this is one of those fundamental programs. How it runs, we'll see in slide number 25. If we move to slide number 25, where we'll be able to see how do we do business turnaround and recovery as productivity testing. Our processes are pretty much similar to a business rescue that is governed by Company Regulations Act number 71 of 2008 as amended. It's just that ours operates in a different environment, but our governance comes from the Employment Services Act, as well as the UI Act as amended, referring to Section 5D in particular. So the main difference on how we assist businesses in distress and in decline, as opposed to business rescue, is that we come in as a change catalyst within those particular business. We don't take over the running of business. It means we work with management and workers and come as external facilitator to give them extra help to ensure that they're able to navigate the storms that they're in. We work with them to ensure that the real root causes, using our various tools and instruments that are world class, are actually identified, so that we are able to address and turn this business around. Because if you fail to identify the real problem, there's no way that you'll be able to get the right solution. This helps us to develop a business turnaround and recovery, a strategy that addresses those root causes. And then we go into implementation to be able to address those ills and to ensure that the long-term sustainability of those businesses is addressed and jobs are preserved. If we move over to slide number 26, our other intervention is grouped within a category we call research, innovation, and statistics. The chairperson was referring to competitiveness report from IMD. This is the unit that works with IMD in Switzerland in contributing indicators from South Africa as far as our competitiveness is concerned on those four broad categories. So there is an element where they look at competitiveness of the country. Productivity, say, on an annual basis generates productivity statistics that looks at all productive sectors as to how they are doing in terms of multi-factor productivity, whether it's capital, labor productivity, and so on, to ensure that we're able to see how we are moving. This is time series that goes back to the 70s, where we do compile this particular statistics so that decision makers could be able to see what are the levers that they need to focus on in order to progress going forward. We also do sector studies so that we can zoom into specific sectoral issues that will inform our enterprise's interventions. We'll move over to slide 27 to just show the general performance of this entity starting from 2014. You could see that in 2015-16, our performance was actually very poor. This is the time that there was a transition, new leadership came into this particular organization. The performance in terms of the annual performance plan was at 36% level, which is very low by any standard. And if you look at the most recent financial year that we have just completed, our performance stood at 100%, which means all our indicators were actually achieved. You know, this despite the fact that we were challenged where one of our flagship programs could not run the business turnaround and recovery due to lack of funding at the time. Fortunately, it has been resolved in the middle of this particular financial year. If we move over to slide 28, these are some of the key achievements. But besides these programs that we run, these national strategic programs, we also, in terms of Section 40B of the Employment Services Act, generate our own revenue. And we were able in the last financial year to generate revenue to the tune of 11 million through our own consulting to try and supplement our finances as well. So it's an improvement from the previous year of about 9%, despite the fact that we're working with less workforce since one of our major programs was actually suspended. And we managed in the as a productivity entity to still ensure that we contain employee costs. And you will realize that this is a knowledge organization, which means our assets are actually our people. But we managed to contain those costs within 4%, which made up of the 5.1 annual increase, plus saving on the moratorium that we have in certain positions. So we were able to assist over 4,000 emerging enterprises. We also achieved an unqualified audit opinion with no irregular expenditure incurred. Our CFO, Dr. Savella, will give even more details as it comes in later during these presentations. So the good expenses below budget to the initiative implemented by the entity. So that's how we actually ensure that we're able to be cost effective with the need financial resources that we have. And we are playing a role within the network level, the Job Summit, as a member within the Job Summit Task Team. We're also involved in the Single Adjudication Committee of Temporary Employee Relief Scheme with CCMA, DCIC, the UIF, in that particular structure as we respond to the challenge that are faced by our business. Recently, we've been added into the SME stream of the economic recovery because the social realized that we cannot have economic recovery without this important playing a major role. If we move over to slide 28, these are some of the highlights we are having an argument with the ILO where we are able to implement the SCOR program within the clothing and textile sector and other sectors as well. And the job summit area has already indicated how active we are there and at the TRS process. If we move over to slide 29, so here are some of the numbers. So interventions are getting supported semi-union cooperatives in the priority product sector of the economy, in line with master plan, with strong growth and employment multipliers is one of our key focus. So if you look overall, we have been able to assist over 25,000 businesses. We have been able to impact on the retention of over 40,000 jobs over that 5-year period. If we move over to slide number 30, this is what our performance looks like on year-to-year actual versus target. So in terms of job sales, 20,240 jobs that we managed to face. One job saved contribute maybe to supporting 7 to 10 other people within our economy with very high unemployment. Over 180 businesses were supported who were in distress. Over 25,000 SMEs were capacitated in terms of productivity and competitiveness. And almost 1,000 businesses have been taken through our continuous improvement initiative that we call Kaizen projects. So these are some of the issues and the value adds that we bring to the economy of South Africa in order to improve the quality of life of South African citizens. If we move to slide number 31, so these are some of the measures that I've indicated. We do form industrial cluster, you know, where we are able to identify a particular cluster and get players within those value chain to participate and be able to upgrade those particular industry to a higher level in order for them to be able to export and compete globally. This happens in the industrial park special economic zone, and at the heart of it is capacity building of those involved, and we ensure that indeed black-owned enterprises get as much support as they deserve. I think my presentation part will end in this particular aspect. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Justice. Good afternoon, colleagues. Good afternoon to the Portfolio Committee, but I'll also follow Justice and say all protocol observed. My presentation will start around the productivity awards. One of Productivity SA's strategic objectives is to ensure that we build and we continue inculcating.
The chair of the committee, can the lady that is presenting now be introduced, please?
Okay, yes. Dr. Nandi Dabula, can you please start by saying what you do for the organization? This is Dr. Nandi Dabula, chair. She is recently got a PhD. Yes, you did. So why don't you want me to mention that? So we call that she's a doctor. Please say what you do.
Good afternoon, Chair. I am the executive.
And the other thing, Chair, sorry, she must speak like a shop steward.
Speak like a shop steward, yes, a shop steward. Yes, Chair, you are right, Chair. It comes from a man, Chair, it doesn't sound right. I'm happy it comes from you.
Chair, you were talking about, there's no balance in terms of gender. So, I mean, I've been hearing Short Stewart's voices sometimes to really bring the female voice here. So you take me back to the gender issue. But thank you so much. I will try and speak like a Short Stewart. My role at Productivity SA is I'm executive manager and I am in charge of corporate relations, which also looks after marketing and communications, strategic partnerships, and really supporting the business around awareness campaigns and all of that.
Productivity awards are part of what I look after at Productivity SA. And as I said, our strategic objective, one of them, is to inculcate the culture of productivity in the workplace, but also in society. And the productivity awards are one of the platforms that we use to achieve that. They in their 42nd year now in 2021. They were launched in 1979 during the times of the National Productivity Institute. The productivity awards are really aimed at heightening awareness of the importance of productivity and really just to galvanize the society, to embrace the concept of productivity, to live productivity in everything that they do. Also, productivity awards are part of, a value chain of what we do. So once we have intervened through the enterprise support programs, we make sure that those companies that have implemented our interventions then are entered into productivity awards. Really the aim is to encourage them, to motivate them, and to recognize the work that they have done, especially, companies that have shown productivity growth, employment growth, wealth and income growth, and social responsibility, because we'd like at the end that companies sort of give back to the communities that they live in. Our slogan at Productivity SA is inspiring a competitive South Africa. So productivity awards are also a way of really just bringing this to life. I mean, we talk it, but then, this is more a tangible demonstration of really us trying to do everything that we can to inspire, people around South Africa and SMMEs to be competitive. The awards are conferred in four categories, which firstly is the emerging sector, the cooperative sector, the public sector, and the corporate sector. They usually start in the regions where companies within the regions are selected, and they are entered into the regional productivity awards, and winners of the regional productivity awards then move in to compete for the final national productivity award, which usually takes place in Johannesburg, and it's always held during the month of October, which we use as Productivity Month. And really, Productivity Month is a month that we want everyone in South Africa to focus on productivity. So we run a lot of seminars, we do a lot of awareness campaigns, but really the idea is to make sure that we create as much awareness as possible around productivity awards. The next slide is really just a picture of some of the winners of the awards, but also the video that we will play at the end will also give some form of some snippets of what happened in the productivity awards. And we do hope that at some point members of the portfolio committee will join this prestigious event, which we're really proud of. The next part that I will talk about is this. We'd like to also show the portfolio committee what we do around strategic partnerships. There is a saying that says, no one can whistle a symphony. It takes a whole orchestra to play it. So as Productivity SA, we understand that we have certain strengths, but then reality is there are a lot of other organizations that possess strengths that we do not have. Therefore, we always make sure that we harness the strengths of others within our ecosystem so that we can make sure that we scale our innovation, and we can always work towards delivering the value that we set to the market. Therefore, we have a framework for strategic partnerships. And we really look out for strategic partnerships, mainly within the organized business, organized labor, academia, government and also international organizations. And some of the criteria that we look at is really, more of sharing of resources, mobilization of funds where we can, but also especially within government, we look out for, those the departments of economic development where we can run joint initiatives with them, and they're also able to maybe fund some of them. And that is also another way of just making sure that we expand our influence, but also we continue building our footprint in South Africa. Some of the strategic partnerships that we have are up on the slide. As I say, international organizations such as ILO, the JICAs of this world, but also on the business side.
Please say what JICA is. Because they don't know, please mention it.
Okay, JICA stands for Japan Institute of
Is the Japan International Cooperation Agency.
Yes, I think it's important that people just get it, because we assume people know these things and don't, because they're not in our space. So sorry for the interruption.
Okay. Yeah. We also have a relationship with the Japan Productivity Center, the International Labour Organization, but also, I've put a PAPA there as in the Pan-Africanist Productivity Association as a partner, but Productivity SA is really a secretariat of this organization. But also, I'm not going to dwell on all the others. It is just some of the examples of the partnerships that we have. The next slide that I will talk to really speaks to some of the examples of the projects that we have undertaken at Productivity SA. One of our biggest projects is a project which we did for the Rand Water, which is the Rand Water Improvement Project. It was a three-year productivity improvement project. And within this project, close to actually 5,000 employees participated in this initiative. And when we look at our close-out report, this was one of the successes we've had as an organization. The other project that we have run was the Ekurhuleni Aerotropolis project, which we successfully completed within 3 years. It's also really about productivity improvement within Ekurhuleni. Over 1,000 SMMEs and co-ops participated, and this project ran into in four phases, and the phases were firstly productivity awareness workshop. We also did some business startup workshop, a cooperative governance workshop, but also a business performance improvement workshop. Also here, as I said, more than 1,000 SMMEs and co-ops participated. And again, here, cost sharing was one of the advantages of this project for Productivity SA. Transnet is also one of the big projects that we've run. It was a 7-year productivity improvement project, and it ran to the value of 18.5 million. It was done over an 11-week period, and the objective of this was to work with Transnet in terms of improving the operational efficiency of the suppliers that Transnet would identify. And the focus was really on helping them with financial literacy or financial soundness, but also how to build sustainable businesses. Also here, we have about 225 beneficiaries of this project, and this is one of projects that I think has strengthened the relationship that Productivity SA continues to have with Transnet. I think for now that is where I will stop. I will hand over to Mr. Mutiga to carry on. Thank you very much, colleagues, for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you, Chairperson and committee members. As indicated, now we begin to ask the question, where to next for the entity? I just want to emphasize that the future is dictated in terms of the priorities of government over the medium-term strategic framework. And that is why we're looking at economic transformation and job creation, we're also looking at how can we assist government in terms of enhancing its capability, issues around the capable, ethical, and developmental state. And as indicated, one of the things that we really want pushing for now is to say, how can we work together with government to look at the four areas that the chairperson has indicated in terms of competitiveness, specifically two areas that we have, I mean, three areas that we have influenced over, one being economic performance in terms of employment creation, the second being business efficiency in terms of improving the productivity of enterprises, improving management practices so that as we enter this as we participate in this fourth industrial revolution, as well as the change in nature and future of work, we have management and workers who are implementing best practice models, as well as also the fourth area that talks to infrastructure. Infrastructure for us is more around skills development as well as innovation. So the future will be guided by those in terms of how we guide enterprises to be competitive and sustainable and contribute meaningfully to those three key areas. And also that we are very cognizant, and as we're listening to the president last night, we were comforted that the president was talking to us when he said, in terms of the reconstruction and recovery plan, the key issue, apart from others, is the issue of industrialization and localization. And that is the space that, with your support, we believe that we should actually own. Now, as we do that, we are guided by the Act, that our founding Act. But what is important in this slide is to indicate that we have in 2018 approached the board with a business model to say, how does the entity align to government programs as well as the pressures that are flowing from the international perspective? The board approved the business model. And with that, we're able to redesign and restructure operations. And that is why Justice was talking about the competitiveness improvement services, as well as the business turnaround and recovery, including our research, innovation, and statistics. So those are the key three programs that we'll be focusing on into the future, because we believe that if we focus on that, it is possible for us to achieve sustained productivity growth and long-term competitiveness of our economy. And what is critical is that our focus is on strategic sectors of the economy. So the issue of sector master plans is very critical. And just to indicate that we are currently serving on the sector master plan that is related to manufacturing, in particular the clothing sector. And also the future then begins to dictate that as a productivity center, we also have to continuously improve. And it is to that extent that we are now working with the AU, guided by JICA, as I indicated, Japan, International Cooperation Agency, and NEPAD has been identified as the implementing agent on behalf of the AU. Now, there's what is called the Africa Kaizen Initiative. we are listed as one of the key entities that are playing a role in this. And actually, to some extent, without boasting, they are leaning a lot on us in terms of our business model, as well as the role that we play in the Pan-African Productivity Association. So they are picking up on the lessons from us. But the critical thing in terms of that is to ensure that we are very capacitated technically as an entity, and also to ensure that we have highly skilled productivity practitioners who are Kaizen accredited. In terms of further areas, as I indicated, we are into the center as it relates to the recovery plan. And as Justice indicated, NetLight has approached us to participate in the work stream that is responsible for enterprise development and support program. And we believe that they will play a very central role in that space, to the extent that in that we'll be looking at these four areas around skills development, areas around job preservation, including what we do in the other TES, task team, and then also be looking at how do we then support our enterprises for purposes of industrialization and localization. And we are advancing, and we believe that we should be supported by the committee here. We are pushing for joint government. We believe that government has been duplicating and in some instances wasting resources. So to the extent that we believe that we should operate as one in terms of government, and that is why we're focusing on this issue of joint up government. In terms of the next slide, 44, just here, we're giving you, in the work that we do, at the bottom there is the priorities, and at the top is the outcomes, and I think we have extensively reflected on that in slide 6 when the chairperson was making the presentation. What is the value that you can derive out of productivity? And in terms of the next slide, here we're just giving you an indication, and a lot is being said about what next. Here, we believe that your understanding of the fact that we are at the center of economic activity would assist us in terms of repositioning the entity into the future. And that would, if you look at the next slide, rather.
What's the next slide? Please, what's the number?
26.
This slide, Chairperson, is what came out in the paper that we tabled in April, May 2020. As we're pushing for what should South Africa do in order to move our enterprises forward, and if you look at this, they are also in support of the four pillars that are in the competitiveness measures. That we need an integrated training and skills development ecosystem as a country, because if we don't do that, we will not be able to build a workforce of the future where we encourage lifelong learning. Critical is also an integrated enterprise development ecosystem, because we believe that enterprises, particularly small enterprises, are a catalyst for employment growth, are a catalyst for competitiveness, and are a catalyst for sustainable growth. So those are the key issues that
we believe will be taken to that work stream. But our focus should be on this, and then, however, without evidence-based planning, monitoring and evaluation, will not be able to go anywhere as a country. So we believe that this should also receive attention, and finally, that as a country, we should be mobilized behind the productivity movement, starting from student level up to enterprise level, up to sector level, as well as at the national level. And those are the things, these are the things that we are actually coming to the committee to say, when we look at the work that we do into the future, this is the roadmap. And time and again, you should ask, what are you doing in the area of training and skills development? What are you doing in the area of enterprise development and support programs? What are you doing in the areas of research, innovation, and what are you doing in the areas of the productivity movement? Those are the key things that I felt in terms of my coming in for the second time, I should focus on. And at this time, I will hand over to Dr. Sibusiso Sabela, who will talk to the residents fans, as well as the key challenges that we are facing. I'm sure the committee is familiar with his face. He's always my partner in crime when we come before you. Thank you, Chair.
With all the protocols observed, thank you very much, CEO. Honorable Chair, a lot of information has been shared to this point, and a lot to absorb for the members. So I'll shoot straight. If anything that members can take away from today's session, on my side, is the funding gap. The funding gap at two stages, as far as the SEs are concerned. Funding gap as far as the to be, which is the future, is concerned. Now, if I give the number, I'd say the funding gap as things stand is 30 million. And that's a takeaway. If anything, just now productivity SA as things stands requires 30 million. Now let me give a breakdown. 30 million talk to a 23, which are vacancies. So as the organization, our productive capacity is running at about 70% as things stand. So the 23 would go towards filling those vacancies. Now the balance of that is, in the past 4 years, 4 or 5 years, we've always approached the department for a bailout. Now what that talks to is the underfunding of the entity. So if you put everything together, our costs as the entity are just more than what we get appropriated from Parliament. And the gap, if you look at the trends, is around 10 million, all right? So as things stand, we're forever approaching the department for a bailout, so there's a 10 gap, and we are running at 75% of our productive capacity. So we have a gap again on that point, just to fill up those vacancies, and it will cost us 20 million, roundabout. So the first takeaway from my slides is one, as things stand, we need 30, we will run as an organization. Number two, if you look at the future, as supported by the information shared previously, in the future, and this future is basically informed by a business model that we developed as an entity, and that model has been board approved, it is awaiting funding. So basically, that funding future is what has basically expand our work, the work that you do, for the benefits of the country. We are looking at about 250 in total. So basically, the funding gap to the future is about 150 million. Funding gap to the future, so to the business plan. So there are two numbers that I've spoken to. The funding gap as far as the earth is concerned. We need about 30 million. And that just gives us our vacancies and our bailouts, the fact that we are underfunded. Without vacancies, indeed, we just need 10 million, short 10 million, as is. Going to the future, if indeed what we have been talking about as the organization, we want to achieve all those beautiful things and benefits for the country, we will require around 150 million. That should just give us a budget of about 300 as the entity. Currently, our appropriation is only 60. Now, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, I will not bother members with the detail of the slides in terms of the problems that generally comes with underfunding. I think they are well made of the two slides, and members can go through those. I just wanted to shoot straight to the what members can take away, and that's the funding gap. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I then come back once more just to reflect on the recommendations and the areas that we think the committee should support us moving forward. If you look at this slide, it captures one key thing, that the future requires an integrated enterprise and an enterprise development and support programs. Now, these programs cannot be implemented by productivity essay alone, but requires collaboration. And we have extensively had a discussion with the department in terms of providing the leadership. And now then that we are put on the NEDLAC work stream on enterprise development and support, we believe that all of us as government, we can be able to achieve these things. From our side, we will provide enterprise competitiveness and sustainability support. But at the same time, we'll provide the technical expertise. What we don't have, as I indicated earlier on, that the National Productivity Institute always was advisory to the Presidential Economic Advisory Committee. We believe that there's an opportunity here to establish an expert committee. We already have what we call the Workplace Challenge Expert Committee. We believe that if we elevate that to a higher level, we will begin to get expert input from all sectors. And in terms of the next slide, what we are advocating for, as the CFO has said, is the single source funding. That single source funding should be from a point where we are saying government should fund productivity initiatives, as indicated, but at the same time, we are advocating that October should be declared a productivity month. And there's a package of things that goes with that. And we are also, Justice mentioned the Workplace Challenge Program having been implemented from 1998. This is tried and tested. And we want to scale the program so that we could. There's always this about if you can measure it, you can achieve it. We're simply saying, let's look at 600,000 enterprises, particularly small and medium enterprises, by 2030. Channel all resources of government into that, and productivity SA will be able to tap from that. As indicated, we are advocating that kindly join us in this journey of advancing our resources. To that extent, we're going to just give you a synopsis of some of the things that we have done so that you get a full picture. Thank you very much. We'll show you the video, and that would complete our presentation.
It's a video. will play for 6 minutes, and then after that, the board member, Mr. Slimasela, will come in to do concluding remarks. Let's play the video.
40th National Productivity Essay Awards Ceremony. We sincerely invite you to join us and celebrate a special evening. The National Productivity Essay Awards for 2019. South Africa, with its inimitable wildlife and mountains, whales and waterfalls, architecture and antiquity, the world's most beautiful city and the world's most stunning spring, plus a host of national treasures, makes this country the most beautiful country in the world. Amidst our challenges, we sometimes fail to appreciate our amazing country that so many tourists experience, and we should take a step back and remember, our flag and our people are not the only reason we should be called the Rainbow Nation, as thousands of different types of flowers bloom and transform the harshest environments, such as Namaqualand, into beautiful natural gardens. President Cyril Ramaphosa, in his first weekly newsletter to the nation, mentioned, South Africans from all walks of life are still moved by the spirit of Tumamina to become involved in fixing our country. They want to change the narrative of doubt to a narrative of opportunity, not through clever spin, but through action. Productivity Essay, after decades, positioned ourselves as the organization to lead the development agenda in South Africa through productivity and competitiveness-driven growth. The achievement of Productivity Essay is never by chance, but by the great effort in strategizing, planning, and execution of strategic programs over time. Productivity South Africa, an entity of the department, has done sterling work in assisting SMMEs through its Turnaround Solutions Program. The department is currently reviewing the funding model so that Productivity Essay can expand its work. The work of Productivity Essay and our vision to lead and inspire a productive and competitive South Africa accentuates our need to invest in a critical mass of a can-do nation, a people passionate about innovation. Tonight, the regional award winners across the country in all 9 provinces will compete in the following categories: emerging business, cooperative, public, and corporate sectors. These enterprises have demonstrated productivity growth, employment growth, wealth and income growth, as well as social responsibility. Sekhumetsi Bahoshi Agricultural Cooperative is an agricultural cooperative that was established in 2009 and is situated in Winterveld, northwest of Pretoria in Gauteng. The cooperative is made up of 5 members and runs various agricultural projects like livestock, crops and egg production on their 30 hectares of land. Their main clients are wholesalers like SH Supermarket and EnviroSwitch. The cooperative currently has 8 layer houses with a total holding capacity of around 66,000 chickens. The cooperative decided that proper training is needed to increase their production growth, market share, quality of production, service and skills levels. They attended Productivity Essay's Business Ethics Workshop, Business Performance Improvement Workshop, and Basic Finance Workshop. As a result of their productivity strategy over the period 2017 to 2019, egg production increased from 7,000 eggs a day to 32,000 eggs per day. Quality of production, branding and service increased from 70% to 90%. Poultry houses increased from 6 to 8 poultry houses. Number of employees increased from 12 to 14. And sales turnover percentage year-on-year growth increased from 1.4 million rand to 1.8 million rand. Social upliftment initiatives included donating vegetables and chickens to creches, schools and churches within their local community. And as part of their water and energy footprint, They make use of a borehole and solar electricity. Sekhumetsi Bakhoshi Agricultural Cooperative are striving to live up to their mission to provide employment to the youth and disabled within their community. Wagner Systems Pty Limited is situated in Diep Rivier, Cape Town, within the Western Cape Province. The company is an ISO 9001:2015 certified contract manufacturer specializing in the production of fine mechanics components and assemblies. When the company was acquired in 2015, it was not profitable. The company's main objective was to implement projects and systems to improve their overall productivity and profitability. A big drive to reduce seven wastes was identified, and some of the projects implemented were: a planning and scheduling system was developed with proper budgets, management accounts, and an accounting system in place. Production efficiency was increased by integrating a pneumatic bar feeder. Lead time of outsourced vacuum hardening was reduced, and an innovative jigging system was developed to eliminate associated bottlenecks. This successful project resulted in the turnaround time being reduced from 21 days to just 1 day. As a result of their productivity initiatives implemented over the period 2017 to 2019, reduction in percentage of non-conformances reduced from 6% to 2%, which led to a quality improvement of 67%. Utilization of staff or resources increased from 28% to 38%, an improvement of 36.8%. Number of employees increased from 25 to 31, an increase of 25%. Sales increased by 70% per month. Sales turnover year-on-year growth increased from 13.3 million rand to 17.4 million rand. These productivity improvements were made without investing in any new machinery. Wagner Systems Pty Limited is a shining example that productivity consciousness and continuous improvement to smart business principles can ensure sustainability and growth. The Blind Syndicate, CC, was established in 1996 and is situated north of Durban, KwaZulu-Natal. The company, through its key brand, Luminos, has earned an international reputation for quality in the window covering market with their blinds and shutters produced for both domestic and commercial application. The Blind Syndicate decided to implement Productivity SA's Workplace Challenge program to create a culture of continuous improvement. Continuous improvement initiatives after 2016 included exchanging solvent-based paint for eco-friendly water-based paint in the spray painting department, which not only resulted in a cost saving of 30 rand per liter, but also positively affected employee wellness in that area. As a result of their productivity initiatives implemented over the period 2016 to 2018, number of multi-skilled operators increased from 60 to 85, an improvement of 33%. Turnaround time decreased from 7 days to 3 days, a lead time improvement of 57%. Number of employees increased from 132 to 159 employees. Net profit as percentage of sales turnover increased from 9.3% to 11.2%. And total productivity increased from 33.9% to 42.5%, an overall improvement of 25.3%. The Blind Syndicate's quality products, excellent service, and after-sales support are rooted in its employees. The positive work ethic of the staff has therefore resulted in the company being one of the leading commercial window covering manufacturers in the world.
Okay. So, Ndate Slimatsela, do the concluding remarks for us. We only have 2 minutes because we are over the time we're given. Over to you, Ndate Slimatsela.
Thank you, Chairperson. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, colleagues, all protocol observed. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee, the Minister of Employment and Labour, the leadership of the different departments in attendance of this workshop for having prepared and made this workshop possible. I would also like to thank the speakers and everyone who has participated for their insightful and heartfelt contribution. Special thanks also to the Productive South Africa Board Chairperson and the Executive Committee led by the CEO, Mr. Mutunye Mutiba, for co-hosting the workshop to outline the work that is done by Productivity South Africa as a vehicle to update the Portfolio Committee on the work done by the entity and adding a crucial perspective to the discussions. The presentations that has been done by both the board chairperson and the executives led by the CEO had continually outlined the buzzword, which is key to the work of Productivity South Africa, namely providing productivity, competitiveness, improvement solution to enhance the productive capacity and operational efficiency of enterprise throughout the business life cycle to create, accelerate wealth and decent employment creation. For the Portfolio Committee members on employment and labor, this has been a hugely important opportunity to spotlight the repositioning of Productivity South Africa for you to understand the work we do and the roadmap to achieve our objectives. It is difficult to add much to the interesting discussion we have had and the videos you have just seen. Our eyes, our ears, and our hearts are full of stories of bravery and hope. Stories that will stay with us when we return to our homes or offices, motivating us to take action in supporting the work of Productivity South Africa, an entity that is geared towards providing funding to enable institutions to achieve its deliverables, which has been compromised for some time. The CEO has cried aloud, making key recommendations to the Portfolio Committee for support and to unlock South Africa's potential. With those few words, I want to thank the Portfolio Committee, of course, the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and all other department heads that are accompanying the Minister to really support the institution so that it is assisted to derive its objective to the benefit of all South Africans. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, we are done. We are finished at the time you've given us. We went over by about 3 minutes. We apologize for that, but that's all we had for you. Thank you.
Wow. I'm saying wow because I must say it up front, I don't regret. DM, DG, members, I don't regret. I will say my apologies for personalizing it, but I think now we are more empowered more than before. Before I request if there are any comments or questions, can we just have a 10-minute comfort break? I know we are at our homes, but some of us have just been seated. And then I think we're not going to log out, Mr. Sakaza, am I correct? It would just be, in fact, even if it's 5, just to stretch and then come back so that we open up for questions. Is 5 minutes okay, honorable members? Members, are you still there? Or am I alone?
We are here, Chair. 5 minutes is okay.
No. 5 minutes is okay.
Yes, Chair.
Just a stretch and then we'll come back. I see hands are already, I see the hands that are already up. It was quite an interesting Makesime Prof. I will come back. I'm quite emotional about it. It's really quite interesting. Thank you very much. 5 minutes, we'll come back. Are we back, honourable members?
We are back, Chair.
Thank you very much, honourable members. In PE is scorching hot. We have received a presentation which is very powerful. A presentation which is empowering. And a presentation that is raising a number of questions. First, as citizens of South Africa, who have been disadvantaged from some time in different fronts, as activists in our own right and leaders, ideologically and otherwise, and lastly as public representatives and world leaders. And therefore, the emotional part in my view about this is that it has opened, Prof, the old wounds. But, as Karl Marx said, that you must take two steps back for you to be able to jump, and in jumping you then become very much strong and empowered. Yes, there are people who are, there's a narrative that always say we must not, us referring to our history is not going to assist us. Yes, we can't lead by always looking at our back, but our history, our past is to empower us, for us to say, what is it that we are to do? What is it that we haven't done? Where are the shortcomings? Where have we erred? And everybody, not only ourselves, everybody is to then begin to say, yeah, what we did and what we didn't do is not going to assist us. And I'm a bit excited and emotional about it, that maybe at times we are not aware that we have people of the caliber of Professor, the chair of the Professor Mdwaba, and we need to be excited about it. That is African people, as much as we are coming from a difficult past, that past has produced. I always say I was supervised, I was controlled by a system that was not very kind to me. But from that system, there are things that I have learned that have made me to be who I am. I always say I'm very angry. I become angry with myself, Mr. Bikram, if you are still here, Honorable Gaynor, if you are here. My passion was in law, but I abandoned it because Africans was compulsory. But I'm going back to it. Watch the space. One of my friends always used to say, "Ah, sugar, umtofunda ngokwendala ufuni obituary." No, no, it's not about that. Watch the space. And Honorable Dana, I understand you are a legal fundi. Watch that space. Watch that space. It's because at the time, Africans was, we felt that no. So I'm angry with myself, but I've taken a conscious decision that I am going to be consistent now. Consistent, I'm going to do law. Come what somebody was saying, but you're too busy to do law. You're too busy and you're too old. My grandmother used to say, there's nothing, age is just a number. Old things are in a dustbin. So I don't belong there. Having said that, honorable members, two hands, honorable Mkonto, honorable Ngabane, in that order for now. I also want to, I'm waiting for other hands, but for now, honorable Mkonto, honorable Ngabane, in that order.
Good day, Chair. Thanks for the opportunity. Good day to the minister. In absentia, I understand he has left. Professor Lidwaba and his team and our DG, Mr. Lamati. Chair, I have a few comments and questions. Unfortunately, I couldn't sort them. I won't be able to say. I'll start with questions and then comments. They are just all over. So colleagues will bear with me and be able to sort them out for me. Chair, my first comment will be that the information that we got today from this presentation or the presentation is very informative. And I think considering that, I think I am in order to say very few people know about Productivity SA and its activities. And to say maybe we need community education sessions, specifically in traditional communities, rural communities and communities under the leadership of Amakhosi and Izinduna. I think they have to know this entity and its activities. And I hope they are going to gain a lot by that knowledge. Chair, please give me an opportunity to check with Professor Lidwaba and his team that is this entity not duplicating activities, specifically with the Department of State Enterprises, the Department of Small Businesses and Development, and the Department of Agriculture. I understand that they are saying that they are busy with monitoring and evaluation. And based on that, I would love to know, after evaluation, where can one get their reports? Do they have any website where one can go and get those reports? It's good that the professor said that when it comes to employment creation, we as a country have failed dismally. Because for your information, Prof, we just got a presentation from Stats SA. It doesn't look good at all. And it's good that you are also aware of what is going on in other state entities, in as far as the statistics that they are having. I want to check, Chair, if in all the things that the entity is responsible for, that of development, decent work, competitiveness, productivity, quality of work, decent wages, and so forth and so forth. Have this entity ever checked what impact does the tender system have in undermining all the things that they have mentioned? Because when really we talk about state capacity, I have a strong feeling that the tender system is in a way undermining the capacity of the state to do all the things that they have mentioned, to be competitive in all the things that they have mentioned. And it becomes very difficult to monitor the private sector if the state is not setting any example, because the state seemingly has outsourced those activities, more especially when it comes to small businesses and so forth. So I want to check if they have just taken that into consideration as to how does the tender system undermine all these things that they have mentioned. They've also talked about, I've forgotten the slide, contribute the growth and productivity. No, I can't see it, Chair, but they were talking about eliminating or limiting the waste. And if you check how the tender system contributes in corruption and the wasteful and whatever expenditures, that's why I'm asking this question, Chair. Thanks very much.
Honorable Ngabane. No, thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the minister in absentia, the GM, the DG, Prof, the honorable members, Prof's team, as well as the team from the office of the DG. Chair, one, I just want to commend the entity for providing us with such a comprehensive presentation. Chair, the presentation is lifting all the substantive issues that needs the attention of the members of the committee. Thanks again to the Prof for simplifying the concept of productivity. Now we understand it, and it makes the members of the portfolio to be able to engage with the presentation effectively. Chair, the report or the presentation also listed some of the challenges that the entity is facing and the requirements, as well as the recommendations and the support areas or the areas of support that needs the attention of the portfolio committee for them to be able to be productive in executing their responsibility as the entity. Chair, I looked at slide 9, which speaks about the strategic objective of the entity. And it says is to promote employment growth and productivity, thereby contributing to South Africa's socio-economic development and competitiveness. Now, the question that arises from this strategic objective, Chair, when I start to analyze and interpret it, is that, is it smart enough? Well, obviously, it is their responsibility to measure or to determine whether the strategic objective of the entity is smart enough. Then after such an interpretation and analysis, Chair, I then visited some of the definitions by the economists of the issues of trade and economic growth. One of them, Chair, says, international trade raises human welfare compared to domestic trade. When I look at it, there is a correlation between international trade and economic growth. Then there is one economist then that came with a practical definition of economic growth, which says it is the sustained increase in per capita or per worker product. And the other one says economic growth occurs if output grows faster than the population. The last one that I'm going to cite says economic growth occurs when individual standards of living improve. Obviously, GDP is usually used to quantify the economic growth of the country. Now, I'm trying to link this broad definition of either international trade or economic growth with what the strategic objective of the entity is saying. Are we smart? I believe if we want to measure our performance or to check if our strategic objective is smart enough, we need to link all these broader definitions with our strategic objective. Then, obviously, we'll come up with a determination whether is it smart enough. Quickly moving, Chair, to slide number 8. What is happening here? Hey, my apologies. I'm trying to move down to slide number 8. Slide number 8, Chair, reflects on our performance as the country in terms of productivity and growth. And when you look at the trend line, say, I don't think we're doing well. What I want to establish from the entity, Chair, and the DG, if you will be in a position to actually respond to my question, is what are the interventions that the productivity SA has to improve the current situation? The second one, Chair, which is linked to the slide, is how best should we develop a balanced approach that will take into cognizance of localization and international trading, because the case of Russian economy proved localization as a cause of stagnant economy. Because our aim as South Africa, we want to grow our economy. We want to create a conducive environment for job creation. And from the presentation of the Prof, I noted that he is well-versed in terms of ICT. And some studies reveal that technology is another way to raise general welfare as it raises productivity. As the entity, as the department, what are we doing in that regard? I want to know, Chief. Because the board itself needs to come up with interventions that are going to make us as the department or as the entity to be responsive to the needs of our people. It must assist us to create a conducive environment to grow the economy and to create jobs. Chair, towards the end, I just want also to reflect on slide 10, Chair, which speaks about vision and mission of the entity. Linking my discussion to, I'm not going to read what says Chair, because we are all looking at the slide. There is a notion that says international competition in trading also increases local companies or entrepreneurs because they learn new technologies and workflows and they begin to up their game. So I just want to know, do we have such enterprises or existing enterprises from the townships, from the remote areas in particular, who are women and youth, whom the entity is assisting in terms of advising them, capacity building programs and initiatives, empowering interventions to be able to compete in global markets and to be competitive and productive. My interest is in our vulnerable and marginalized entities in rural and township areas. I want to see, I've seen they are making a very good stride, but I want to know if they are also zooming into those marginalized entities that are in the rural communities, because even in the video that they shared with us, I could see that they are only talking about enterprises from Pretoria, from Durban North, but they are not talking about those enterprises and cooperatives that we have in the Bunjus, Chair. Once more, Chair, thanks very much to the Prof and the team for demystifying this concept of productivity and providing us with such a comprehensive presentation. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Ngabane, Honorable Mugabe.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity. And greetings to the leadership of the department and the entity, its board, and the management. Thanks for organizing the workshop, especially on Productivity SA. I think the presentation is very informative and educational. I have comments and questions of clarity. The first question of clarity is on the history of Productivity SA. Before the new Productivity SA, how was the National Productivity Institute performing in relation to what it was established for in the old regime compared to what is Productivity SA is performing as it has been established for the new dispensation? I'm not sure whether the question clearly put across so that one would get a reconciled position on the issue of why this entity now, the Productivity SA, is established in terms of the current mandate, which therefore is not in line with what the Section 21 or the National Productivity Institute was established for, because when we are listening to what Prof is saying and the CEO, they are saying that the establishment of the economic, the National Productivity Institute had an expert authority to advise the Presidential Economic Advisory Council. Now, I want to get an understanding. What is the difference between the NPI and the Productivity SA in terms of its current mandate? So that it will be clear for us to provide a strategic leadership in terms of how we need to take the matters going forward in terms of promoting employment growth and productivity. Secondly, Chair, I think I do remember that I once raised this issue in one of the quarterly reports that we received. It's the question that this important entity plays in the economic growth, in the promotion of employment growth and productivity. And there was a response from DG, which I think we need to take the matter further. The issue I raised was, you have an entity of government that has so much powerful resource and capacity to prevent what has happened in the SOEs. As we all know, the issue of failure of implementing governance issues in our SOEs. Yet, we have such an entity that has this capacity to address the challenges. Is there a forum of chairpersons of board of these entities where they would share their experiences and therefore then develop a mechanism of interventions where they are such a need? I'm being diplomatic in the manner in which chair that ngikhuluma ngayo lento ngoba sibaningi la. The issue therefore requires a strategic intervention. If I'm saying it requires a strategic intervention, it's because of the manner in which things have been happening. Yet, we do have the necessary capacity to provide leadership. However, you would understand that there has been challenges in terms of coordination and collaboration. Don't you think that there has to be a new way of structuring things so that we are able to maximize on the capacity that we have? The other point is between the formal and informal economy. In the areas of the black majority of the country, we have what we call informal economy. Understanding that the mandate, as it currently is, of the Productivity SA, does not include informal economy. I'm talking about elevating our majority of the people who are in the township, peri-urban and rural areas, who are engaged in street trading, cooking ama chips and amagwinya, food cook in the township. How are these people being assisted? Take into account that there is small business department, but in terms of the mandate of Productivity SA, they do not focus in that sector and where the majority would have to be groomed to get into a formal of small businesses that would be formalized, so that you are able therefore to address the township and rural economy. The issue of which is the last point, Chair, is the strategic partnership. Take into account that the entity is participating in the district development model. What is the strategic collaboration between Productivity SA and the municipal entities, your district development agencies, as part of local economic development initiatives, so that they understand and open up its wings in terms of the participation and the marketing of Productivity SA to those areas where they are not known. Secondly, take into account that those district development agencies would have a database of both formal and informal businesses in our areas. So what is the role, what role are they playing in formulating a strategic partnership with the district development agencies? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. From my side, also, just like Honorable Mkhonto, although I'm trying to put that in order, I'll be all over comments and questions, but I won't be long. Because questions have been asked, but there are those that I feel that I can't just keep quiet. They are comments I'm passionate about. I'm just trying to get in which slide Mr. the C. Mutubi made a comment, asked a question, how can we work with government? I put some big question marks because my understanding is that this entity is an entity which is in a government department. What message are we being given? Are you trying to indicate to us that can you be assisted, that you get a cooperation from other government departments? I just want to check on that. The other thing that Professor Ndwaba, I know you talk about productivity within the scope of economy, but I just want to check your relationship, and pardon my ignorance, and call me and correct me. We have got a sector which is called public sector, which it is to be productive in terms of how it does its work within the ambit or the environment of a developmental state, because they play a very important role for communities and the citizenry to have confidence in its government. There is a slide, I don't know which slide number what, which I want to, the power of productivity. I don't know that slide number 8 or number 9, between 8 and 9, which the heading is the power of productivity. There's a bullet point there that makes me to shiver a bit, because it's the truth, which says we suffer from an underskilled population. My apologies. We suffered from an underskilled population, and I want that to be, because it's quite yes, our country suffers from an underskilled population, which is evident in a high unemployment rate, despite numerous jobs vacancies. I want to thank you for not being diplomatic or for being bold in reminding us, because as we speak, at times we speak as if we are talking about a population which has never been subjected, not because of its own making, but because of the system of education. Because that I would have loved if you would have affected that in that sentence, not a philosopher. Our country is suffering from underskilled population due to. Because we want to correct something here, honorable members. Because truly and honestly speaking, the issue of that I want to link that with what I slide 42, which was talking about skills development. I don't know whether you do have, with you having picked up that, you do have a program in place as we speak. We are in a new normal, not because of our own making, but because of the challenges of the pandemic. And therefore, as we are then going to be, we are still going to be live with COVID post-lockdown, because there is a time where lockdown is going to be either relaxed or be something that is post-lockdown. As we are still on lockdown because of COVID, we are supposed to be planning so that we are not caught by surprise. We're supposed to be planning on that. Yes, we have acknowledged, we are acknowledging, we're not apologetic about this. It is quite hurting, it is challenging, it's emotive,
majority. If you can go to the streets of Port Elizabeth, you go to Motherwell, you go to New Brighton, you go to northern areas. If you can ask one or two, my area is a peri-urban area, my constituents of the area is a peri-urban. At dropouts, others not because of whatever, but because of the financial situation. How then do you have a plan? Have you called, seek an audience with the Department of Higher Education and Training to say, yes, we're here in PE, I'm making an example, you have got an FET college here. What are the skills that FET, which are the skills that are going to assist those young people and women to be empowered so that they become part of the economy, they don't become dependent, they become entrepreneurs, SMEs, co-ops, which are those skills? We are seated here, Letive College, Elapa, Algoa. The only thing, the huge faculty that has got a number of is public administration. Is public administration going to assist us? Two, I know it's difficult. It may not be possible. That's why I want to say, have you looked into having a project of saying, let's go to these high schools and check and assist